Hey, before we get started, I wanted to let you know that we love bringing this content to you for free, and we want to keep going. Your support helps make that happen. So please go hit that subscribe button today. It really makes a difference. Okay, on to the episode. The impact our pets have on us is often indescribable. There is just something they bring into our lives that you can't put into words. For Fedra Barrett, that's not exactly the case. She can pinpoint exactly what her cat Balaam has done for her, and it's pretty major.
My own cat, Balaam, has helped me discover my own path in life.
Fedra is the founder and president of the Balaam Foundation, and Balaam is a popular cat who has amassed a huge following on social media under the handle Balaam Says. But his impact goes beyond just likes and comments on Instagram. Fedra has used his platform for so much more.
Had I not had Balaam and the fame that he's brought to himself, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing. It's because of this incredible, extraordinary cat who lives under my roof, who came into my life suddenly and kind of magically. And now all I do is rescue because of him.
Balaam himself was rescued by Fedra, but his story wasn't the bright and happy kind we see so often in our feeds.
I basically lost the love of my life cat, and he was an Oriental too. And his name was Mescal. He and I were just so deeply in love, and he died tragically and suddenly. I was in such shock, and I kept feeling like, okay, I really must rescue. I'm a rescuer. I really must rescue.
When Fedra saw a picture of Balaam, the connection was instant. Without hesitation, Fedra brought home Balaam and his brother too. But all was not well with these cats.
When they came, they were so sick, him and his brother Chaska. I didn't even think Balaam would make it. They were so unbelievably sick. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
After many weeks of treatment for various illnesses, both the cats made it through, and Fedra emerged inspired to do all she could to help animals like hers. And it turned out that there were quite a few who needed Fedra. The Balaam Foundation is based in Mexico, where there are both humanitarian and animal welfare crises that, from the outside looking in, can seem crippling. But all hope is not lost. Fedra, a rescuer at heart, remember, is determined to do all she can to help the animals in need and get the word out about what all of us can do as well. Coming up after the break, Fedra tells us about what's happening in Mexico and how we can help animals in need, plus what we can do in our own backyards to help cats live healthier lives. Stay tuned. I don't know about you, but I love to take my new puppy Teddy everywhere I can. And when I do, I want to make sure to have some good treats on hand for when I need them. Our favorite is Blue Nudges On-The-Go Treats. They are made with real USA chicken as the first ingredient and no artificial flavors or preservatives. And my favorite part, they are packed in a convenient reusable flip-top container that fits right in your cup holder. So these meaty treats are an easy and healthy way to reward your dog on the go. Purchase Nudges on the go wherever you buy pet treats. I want to kind of maybe back up a bit to the heart of this interview and get into what is the Balaam Foundation and what is it that you do and how are you helping?
So I live in Mexico. It's a developing country. Mm-hmm. So wherever people are suffering, animals are suffering tenfold.
Right.
And so there's a huge crisis here with overpopulation, animal overpopulation. I started the Balaam Foundation principally to hold sterilization campaigns free for people who have animals in impoverished communities. So we started by going out, you know, once a week to outlying small towns in our city. And I had a team of three vets and we would just start sterilizing. And so that's grown and grown. And recently we had a weekend campaign for cats. We did, in one weekend, we sterilized 237 cats.
Wow.
With the vets working from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m.
Wow.
Straight.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really intense. It's really, really very, very difficult work. But we're making a difference. So we started to do that. And then I had a very shabby-looking rescue who became famous in her own right, who wasn't with us for very long, but she was FELV positive. And she was at death's door when I found her. Her name is Twiggy. And she became quite the celebrity. And she basically, I fostered her till she died. She was only with us for 6 months, but I'm sure it was the best 6 months of her life.
Yeah, definitely.
And she basically opened the pathway to the foster to adopt program that I have now. And so we have cats coming in all the time.
Yeah.
And I have a very small program, but I have about 20 animals at a time that I foster and we find homes for. Uniquely, we send all our fosters mostly to the United States.
Because in Mexico, there's just not the ability, right?
Yeah. It's harder to find homes. You know, everything is so saturated here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's saturated everywhere, but it's really saturated here. Yeah. It's really bad. Mm-hmm. And also, my followers are mostly based in the States. So people see the videos, people connect with an animal, mm-hmm. and these animals go to live their best forever lives all over the United States. We even have some in Canada.
Wow. But I want to know a little bit more, just for the audience listening, why is it such a crisis in Mexico? And what can people be doing? What should they know? How can they help? Like, what are the things that people don't know about this crisis?
First of all, is the stumbling blocks we have with the lack of education. Mm-hmm. Education is everything. In fact, that's a program that we're starting up at the Balam Foundation, a program to go into schools and educate children about the importance of spaying and neutering, mm-hmm. because it's a very, very macho culture. And so people here don't think they should sterilize males.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit backward thinking for sure.
So absurd, but often we'll find that we go out to this campaigns. Like mm-hmm. one of the first ones I went to, if not the first one I went to, like everyone was female. And I was like, I said to my assistant, why is everybody female? She's right. Like, yeah, they don't think the males need sterilizing. They think it's all down to the women. We have so much work to do mm-hmm. in that arena as well, just educating people. And the best way to educate them is to teach the children.
Right. Who then carry that message home and,
yes,
you know,
exactly.
for their whole lives. Yeah.
Exactly.
How are those messages received? How is this education being received both in Mexico, but also you say a lot of your followers are in America, in, you know, Canada. How is it being received all over, this information, this education?
Well, to be honest, most people in the States already know this is an important thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, we have strays. Strays is a big problem all over. I mean, it's not to the level of Mexico, but we always see, you know, strays in my family. In fact, when we had strays in my parents' yard, my parents went and got them all spayed and neutered. Yeah. We trapped them and got them spayed and neutered. And because we're like, we love, you know, kittens are great. We were like, we can't keep having kittens all over the place.
I know. Right. So, things are changing here. It makes me so happy to see when we have a sterilization campaign, mm-hmm. people will travel for miles to come mm-hmm. and take advantage of our free veterinary services. And what really warms my heart is you can really see how much these people who don't have much themselves actually do a lot of rescue.
Yeah.
A lot of rescue and bring in the animals from the streets and know that it's the right thing to do to sterilize them. So things are changing, but it's slow. Changes in consciousness tend to move slowly. They evolve slowly. So.
That's definitely for sure. So how do you, when you have these campaigns, these, you know, spaying and neutering campaigns, how do you get the message out? How do you choose where to go? Or are you just staying pretty local?
Well, because we were established in 2021. So we've not been around for very long, but we hold sterilization campaigns in small communities once a week. Mm-hmm. We make contact with that community weeks ahead.
Yeah.
to start getting names down on a roster. And then for the large scale campaigns, we advertise on the internet, we advertise on the radio, we even hang flyers up. I'm always impressed. Usually people come and they will wait hours because it's slow.
Yes.
It's slow. You could expect to spend 5 hours waiting in line.
Wow. You find vets who just volunteer their time to do this, right?
No, I pay them.
Oh, really? Okay. So.
Pay them. No, this is why we need to be funded.
Yeah.
We have to hire vets to do this work. They're veterinarians who specialize in sterilization.
Mm-hmm.
So we choose them and we use their teams.
Okay. That's interesting, but also a very good thing to note, because like these are not just people out of the goodness of their heart. Like this is a service that is being provided and paid for. So I also want to hear a little bit about how people react when they bring, like the people bring their pets to you, people bring strays in. How are people reacting to this foundation, to this service, when they bring their animals?
They are so sweet. I'm constantly moved by the sweetness and kindness of mm-hmm. these people who, you know, some of them have like 10 dogs and they do so because they bring them off the street
mm-hmm.
and they live in really small spaces themselves. And people are grateful. People are really grateful for the support. I mean, another thing the B'Lam Foundation does is sometimes we have an animal come in who's been hit by a car or who's in really dire straits. And the vets here in town know me and they'll call me and say, okay, we've got somebody who really cares about their animal and
yeah.
they cannot afford to pay for them. Can you help? And so then we'll step in and help pay the vet bills as well.
It's a little counterintuitive because these people who have these pets, they care about them so much. So it's not an issue of like people don't care about their pets. It's more an issue of they can't afford to care for their pets, right?
They can't afford to care for their rescues. A lot of times these are animals they've rescued and they don't want to see them starving on the street. So they bring them into their house. I mean, that's the majority of what I've seen here.
Yeah.
Of course, there's a lot of disregard for animals, in particular cats, though that's changing. But part of the reason I focus on cats in Mexico is because it's almost like we still have vestiges of medieval, like burning witches.
Yeah.
Like
there's something associated with a cat.
Yes, there's like people associate them. People think, and I've heard people say this, that cats are the souls of the dead. Or that like if you sleep with a cat, you'll go blind. Or, you know.
Right. Just wild ideas.
Like crazy ideas. Crazy, crazy ideas. But that's what we're dealing with. I mean, that's the lack of education. I mean, it's changing. And we're seeing more and more people here in Mexico accept cats and bring them into their homes. But the chosen animal in Mexico for people is dogs. And the reason that is because dogs act as protection
mm-hmm.
for their homes. I've been to homes where people are so poor that they don't even have doors on their, they have just a sheet for their front door, you know? And so they have dogs because dogs will protect them. And cats aren't seen as providing much use.
Have you heard about the True Blue effect? It's pretty cool. And I've seen my dog Teddy thrive because of it. What I'm talking about are the 7 benefits your dog could experience from the key ingredients in Blue Life Protection Formula. We're talking about healthy muscle development, immune system health, skin and coat health, healthy digestion, joint health, strong bones, and the one I see most of all in Teddy is vibrant energy for an active life. All of this is thanks to the quality ingredients in Blue Life Protection Formula. Try it now. I want to talk about the foundation. What are your goals? What are some of the things that you hope to achieve in the short term and the long term?
Oh, gosh. Well, another thing that we do that I haven't mentioned yet is that we have a dedicated TNR team.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out pretty much daily.
TNR being traps. Neuter release.
Yeah, TNR. Uh-huh. Trap, neuter, release. And they go out pretty much daily to see, you know, trap cats. And so that's another part of our sterilization program where mm-hmm. we're actually going out to see, to trap feral colonies, because feral colonies are really wonderful things, and they provide us with a free rodent control service.
Yes.
Very important.
Yep.
Very, very important. But of course, they're not adoptable. I mean, I have a soft spot for ferals, but it takes a good long time to domesticate a feral. But we do have some ferals over at the foundation right now. We're working with them. My long-term goal, my ambitions don't just stop at strays. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm passionate about wildlife and conservation. And my dream would be to have some kind of rescue center for wildlife, you know, wildlife that's been hit by cars and that needs vet care and rehabilitation, and then they're back out into the wild. That's what I want. And Mexico has some of the highest biodiversity in the world. And so that's one area in the future I would love to expand into. You know, I always think, you know what, there's all of Latin America. You know, there's so much that, there's so many animals that, I mean, Mexico in some ways is more advanced than mm-hmm. many of the other countries south of us, like
sure.
Guatemala. That's another level. I mean, it just goes on as you go further south. You
know, right.
So, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful, I think to myself, if we could just have teams everywhere and we could just sterilize everybody. Sterilize all the cats and dogs.
Yeah, all the cats and dogs. For pet parents listening, whether they're in Mexico, whether they're in America, wherever they are, if they do come across a feral or a colony or an animal that's in need, what advice would you give them? How would you tell them to, you know, take some steps to help that animal?
Well, I guess the first thing they would do is call a local shelter and see if the shelter has any kind of tools for mm-hmm. TNR, or if anybody from the shelter can help. I do know people who just buy their own traps, humane traps online, and trap one by one. And of course, there's loads of tutorials online for how to trap. It's incredibly difficult work.
Yep.
I can't even, because cats are so smart. The problem is that they're so clever. And so once they figure out those traps, you know, you might get half the colony and the rest of them like, oh, I'm not going in there. Oh, it's a hard one. It's a hard one. I don't know if I can provide a definitive answer for that, but I guess the first place would be to start would be to call the local shelters.
Yeah, and the local shelters usually will have a better idea of the area, what you can expect, who might be able to help, stuff like that. But I want to talk to you about, why do you love cats? What is it about a cat that brings you such joy? What made you fall in love with them in the first place? And why do you continue to love them?
Well, I grew up with cats. Mm-hmm. My dad describes himself as the original cat lover. And so I've had cats from day one. And I'm an only child too. So my companions were cats.
Mm. Yep.
So I would bond really strongly with my cats. And they were siblings to me. As far as I'm concerned, they were my siblings, and now they're my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, so... And I just think they're so interesting. They're so, they're complicated, and they have very rich personalities, but you have to work with them. You do have to work with them. And I like the quiet space that I find with them. I like to go into their level, and I like to see if I can convince them that I'm worthwhile. Worth their time.
Is it a daily convincing, or once you convince them, do they love you forever?
Oh, I mean, I have to convince them all the time, because of course we have ferals coming in all the time.
Uh-huh.
Or street cats coming in all the time, not necessarily ferals, but rescues coming in. So I have to constantly measure where each cat is at and how much work I need to put in with each cat. I want to get them into homes. And it's my job as a foster to get to know each cat's personality as well as I can, so that I can pair them with the right person.
Sure.
Especially because that person doesn't meet them necessarily before they pick them up at the airport, you know? So usually what people respond to in our cats is they love the story. They have incredible stories. They have incredible stories of survival and resilience, and A lot of it's heartbreaking, but the end of the story is always happy.
Yeah.
And I make sure that's what I like to do. If you really ask me to condense everything that I do into a nutshell, it would be to say that I make sure that we have happy outcomes. We get animals who've experienced real tragedy, but then to be able to turn that around and have them live like kings and queens for the rest of their lives is like the best feeling. I love it.
What are some of your tips and tricks for getting an animal, a cat, to trust you? How do you learn about a cat, and how do you help have the cat, you know, start to bond with you?
I'm going to answer this by first saying that I'm a licensed acupuncturist. I work with energy. When you're working with cats, you're working with that energy. You're working with energy because you basically, what I notice is that my whole awareness changes. I slow down. I move like a Zen master. Mm-hmm. Really slowly. You have to move very slowly and speak very softly and be very, very, very patient. Very, very, very patient. But very much it's about the way you have to be so conscious of every little move you make and so careful with them. For them. And of course chicken helps.
Chicken always helps.
It's a chicken. When you get ferals in, you always have to, or not ferals, but like timid cats, let's just say, you have to create in them an association between them and you specifically. You have to create that first bond. And so you have to hand feed them.
Yeah.
You have to understand that that you are the person. If you just leave food out, you're not going to get anywhere. They have to understand that you are the.
Right. You're providing.
Providing. And then come around most likely.
All right. That's super helpful information, I think, because I think people are always a little concerned, like, well, I don't even know how to bond with my cat. I think that's one of the good first steps to do that. Just be their provider.
Yeah.
All right. Before we wrap up, a couple more things. The first being, where can people find out more about the foundation? How can they get involved? How can they help?
We have a website, Balam Foundation, one word, lowercase.org. And people can help by obviously donating, obviously, that goes without saying. But we also have people, you know, I feel like people who adopt from us really, really, really are helping us. We need adopters. And I know people think, well, I could go to my local shelter and get a cat. Right. Sure, you could. You could. So why adopt a Mexican cat? Because it's so dire here and because we just can't place them very easily or necessarily even responsibly. How else can people help us? Donations, tell your friends and family. We're a 501c3, so it's tax deductible. Mm-hmm. Adopt from us, spread the word, all those good things. I want to speak to the incredible sense of like profound sadness that I kind of was swimming in long, you know, before I started the Balam Foundation, because I felt like there was so much going on in the world that I couldn't stand. Like I can't stand species loss. I can't stand that we're destroying the planet like we are. I cannot tolerate it. And so now that I've set up this organization and I actually feel like I'm doing something that's bringing light to the world, I don't have that sense of like that I was just drowning in sadness, because I'm like, I'm doing something. It's not going to save the planet, but it'll save some animals from suffering and they'll get to experience love. And I do feel that every little act of compassion is felt somewhere and somehow in the world. I feel like it has a ripple effect, like I was talking about energy. There's a movement to it.
Yeah, no, I think that's spot on. And I think it can be easy to feel overwhelmed by all the work that we have to do. And it can cripple some people. But I was mentioning this to somebody I was talking to just last week. I was like, It just, little things add up. If everybody does some little things, it could add up to big things. So I think that right there is kind of the impact that we were talking about before, is you might not know where to start or how to fix everything, but you could do one thing. You could do something.
Right. And that's the thing. That would be my advice to people. Mm-hmm. You know, go where your pain is. Like, my pain is watching animals in the street. So that's it. That's the answer. You go there and try and fix it.
Right.
That's also your joy.
Yeah, that's it. Amazing. Well, there's only one more question left for you. It could be the easiest or the hardest question yet. So here it goes. If you were an animal, what animal would you be? And what would be your favorite activity?
I'd be a jaguar.
I thought you might say that.
The reason I say that is because I spent time in Brazil last summer, mm-hmm, on a wild jaguar safari, and I've seen them hunt. And let me tell you how easy it is. Look, the word jaguar actually means he who kills with one leap.
Wow.
And they do.
Right. They just do it.
This, and they die here, and they come out with a caiman.
Wow.
It's a kind of crocodile. I mean, the skill is just phenomenal. It's just phenomenal. They have the strongest jaws of all the cats too. And they're pretty gorgeous to boot.
Sounds like a pretty cool trip. You've been listening to Life with Pets, the show that combines real pet stories with proven guidance from pet professionals. I'm your host, Hillary Georgie, and I hope this show has been a great resource for you as a pet parent. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe, rate, and review the show on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to download the Buddies app. This episode was produced by the team at mission.org.